ever. This is what God says. And he says, so evangelists, I want you to know. Evangelicals, I want you to know. Don't think that God will give you a pass on this. You will not escape your fate for being a willing participant in wrongdoing. You know, we all will reap what we sow. Let's not be deceived. One of Satan's weapons is the art of deceiving, misleading others, and cheating. That's one of his main deceptions, misleading people, deceiving people, and cheating people. And we have seen all of this in this election year. We've seen all of this. So let me show you what the evangelicals are playing around with. Look at Matthew 24:24. And it says, for there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And you know what elect means? It means picked out, the chosen people of God. That's the elect of God. And we can't give Trump that much credit. But through him giving voice and legislation to abortion and LGBTQ rights, he gets credit for that. Evangelicals, two unconscionable sins. That's the two unconscionable sins that you're guilty of. Trying to run with somebody that's going to take care of abortion rights and LGBTQ rights. You know, I don't understand it, but that's what the gist of this was.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual One Man Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together,
Alexandria,
this is what we like to call you,
Jesus. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention very briefly to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. And it says, God having provided us, or provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. May the Lord add a blessing to this. the hearers of his word. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, thank God for his best. Thank God for his best. I have been laboring in this 11th chapter and dealing with the intricacies of each verse, trying to understand more clearly what God is saying to the people of God as he desires to usher us into a stronger reality of faith, both in our speaking and in our living. If we look at verse 40 sums up the fact that God haven't provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete or whole. And so, you know, when we get through looking at faith and all of this, it might not sound like a whole lot, but what it's really saying is God is giving you the best that he's got. And he's giving you the best that he's got because he loves you in such a way that he dispensationally placed this particular release of love and faith in the era that you and I are in. Now, one of the things that as I was going through this chapter, was to see all of the great exploits that were done in faith. And I could clearly understand why these folk were in faith's Hall of Fame. It don't take a rocket scientist to see that they did some wonderful things through faith. And understanding that, it made me feel somewhat inferior to those whose names were written in this 11th chapter. And I thought as I was going through this, my God, how can we even compete with these people of God in the Old Testament time and how they utilized their faith? Because when you begin to walk back through it, you'll see in verse 4, Abel had sacrificial faith. Verse 5, Enoch had sold out faith. Verse 7, Noah had saving faith. Verse 8, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and 9 had supernatural faith. Verse 11, Sarah had sincere faith. When you move on to verse 20, you'll see that Esau had strange faith. Verse 22, Joseph had strong faith. Verse 23, Moses had superior faith, and the harlot Rahab had secure faith. As you walk through the rest of the book, you'll note that they're not broken down into individuals, but rather classes, because verse 32, 33, and 34 deals with triumphant faith. And we'll go back through that in just a moment, but verse 35 and 36 deals with trying faith. And then verse 37 and 38 deals with trusting faith. And then verse 39 deals with totality of faith. So if we went back to verse 32, the B portion beginning, it says, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel. And 33 says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. 35 says, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So when you look at these three verses, if I was speaking just from these three verses, I would have spoke from the subject, time won't let me tell it all. Because when you go back through these verses and deal with these men in their triumphant faith, and then it mentions and other prophets. So this was not a end to the list. This was just a partial list. There were others they didn't even name by name because there were too many to name. They were just trying to get you to get the understanding that these men had triumphant faith. But see, that's the kind of faith that most of us hear about, read about, and desire to have. But not many of us want trying faith. See, verse 35 says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. 36 says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. So right here, what you would understand is that these folk had a kind of faith that was tried so much so that it proved in the trying God was still in control of the situation. One of the reasons why many of us wouldn't want our dead raised again is because we wouldn't want them to die in the first place. Many times we don't want to be tortured, so therefore we would cry for deliverance the first moment we got a chance to be delivered. But these were folk who refused deliverance because they wanted a better resurrection. Amen. 36 goes on and it deals with, it says, and others had trial. Listen, of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. Look at their lives. If I were preaching from these next four verses, 35, 6, 7, and 8, I talk from the subject, in spite of my test, I thank God I'm blessed. Because the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, in spite of all of the tests we go through, if we're still here, we're blessed. So somebody didn't get that. If you can live to talk about it, if you can live to see another day, if you can live to lift your hand to the Lord, if you can live to breathe again, you are blessed. Blessed. Abundantly blessed. Listen, my brothers and sisters, so that was trying faith, but trusting faith takes it even further. For 37 says they were stoned. Listen, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Listen, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. See, this was what you would call trusting faith or living faith, where every day was a challenge just to get through. Every day was a day that you didn't know would be your last day, and you didn't know what you would have to go through. Some of them were stoned, were sawn asunder. Look at that picture. I mean, you talk about chainsaw massacre. They were cut limb by limb apart. They were tempted, which means tried, and they were slain with the sword. And then the Bible says, isn't it this? They wandered about in sheepskins, not wool, sheepskins. I know you get the picture that it's some nice wool this, you know, because I like wool suits. That's the wool. But the skins are that almost plastic-like part that the wool is attached to. They had the giveaways, the part that was not usable or profitable that they had to cover themselves with, and some had goat skins. Some of you died just because of the fashion issue. Oh, I can't be seen in this. I don't know. Yeah, you'd have fashion issues. You couldn't do that. And then, my brothers and sisters, when you look at this word and you understand it, it says being destitute, being without any support, sometimes without food, water, place to call home, a place to lay their head, destitute. Nothing in this world that was worth calling their own. And that weren't enough. They were afflicted. Listen, I'm not just talking about with disease. I'm talking about, again, with mean and unusual, cruel punishment. And then tormented. Made fun at, jeered at, mocked at. Talked about, talked down to, looked down upon, made fun of, ridiculed. Every day, you can take that sometime. But every day? Because some of us know, ain't many days we can take a little of that. Some of us get messed up and holler, now this ain't the day for it, call me another one, and that's it. Am I talking to anybody in the house? She gonna be real. You start slipping, you another one, your mama, all the rest of that and everything on. You get to going on and you just let it go. No, I done had enough of this. I ain't gonna take no more of this. But they endured that. They endured it. 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered, listen to this, as nomads, not having a permanent home, in deserts and in mountains and in dens, listen, and caves of the earth. It's bad when you don't know where you're gonna lay your head down at. It's bad when there's no place you can call home. It's bad when there's no place that you can securely and comfortably get a few hours of rest. Don't know what you would wake up to if you wake up at all. The threat from enemies, the threat from animals, the threat from the enemy within. And they're constantly on the move from one danger to the next danger, wandering all over. Verse 39 says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith,
received not the promise. If I was speaking from this verse, I would use from the subject, put a pin in it. It's not over yet. Because the word says, listen, and these all having obtained a good report. A good report. I ain't talking about somebody done failed, done messed up, done missed it. I'm talking about folk who got it right. I'm talking about folk who God is pleased with, whom the Lord looks down upon and smile. And they've gone through all of this and still have not received the promise. Some of you have been looking all through the word. And while verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Here is this again, not having received the promise. Well, see, some didn't fulfill, and I want to make that clear to you so you'll understand, when you see promise in plurality and then when you see promise in singular, there is a difference. And it's not just a difference because they got a S on the end. Plural means that God made them some individual promises, some things relevant to a certain people in a certain place at a certain period. And while they received some of the promises, they didn't receive all of it. Well, one of the things that you'll know by this is true, because verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, listen, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, the word says Abraham received the promises. There were some promises God made to him in the earth realm concerning him, his posterity, his prosperity, his peace, et cetera, that came to pass. But not the promise. And then when you keep moving through this and keep seeing that these people did not receive the promise, it becomes more and more clear that this promise must be something special. Because if these all went through all they went through, and I ain't been through none of what they've gone through, and they didn't receive the promise, is there any hope for me? For you? Our challenges can't even be compared to their challenges. So if they didn't receive the promise, how shall we receive the promise? I'm glad you asked. Because when you begin to understand, it starts here again in this 40th verse. God having provided what? Some better thing for us. Well, here is the point. God having provided some better thing for us. I didn't provide some better thing. You didn't provide some better thing. Mama didn't provide. Daddy didn't provide. Nobody but God provided some better thing for us. That they, all of the ones that were named in the prophets who were in the list that weren't called off individually, who had done great exploits, that all of them would not be made perfect without us. So it's very simple. What is this better thing? Anita Baker made a song some years ago that says, giving you the best that I've got. And she said, I bet everything on my wedding ring, I'm giving you the best that I've got. Now here is the point. She was trying to say to the man of her dreams that you can trust me. I'm going to keep my vows, I'm going to keep my commitment, keep my dedication. You bring out the best in me, and I stake everything I am and say on this wedding ring, giving you the best that I got. Well, I want to tell you one thing. God staked everything on a better thing.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did.
Giving us the best that he has. And because God decided to give us the best that he's got, somebody ought to be thankful and grateful that he looked beyond our faults. We don't deserve it, but yet we are blessed. Listen to this, and I'm about to bring it to a close. Because this better thing was simple. It meant it was a better covenant, a new testament with new and better benefits, and that God promised to do for us in this dispensational time. Listen, they had the byproduct of the promise, which was faith. They had the byproduct of the promise, which is faith. But we have the producer of faith. The promise himself. They had a prophecy and a preview of Jesus, a type, a like, but we have the presentation and person of Jesus. See, they had faith, byproduct of the promise, but we have Jesus, who's the producer. Well, let me put it the way the word says, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And so with the better thing God's provided in the new covenant, the new testament, that he's provided for us, we can do even greater things than what we've read about those who have done in the Old Testament. And when I started looking at this thing, I started to begin to understand why we understand God has blessed us with a much better thing than those of the Old Testament have. We can speak those things now that be not as though they were. We can walk by faith and not by sight. We can walk in authority, bind on earth and it'll be bind in heaven, loose on earth and it'll be loosed in heaven. Do you realize we're something else? And when we begin to understand this faith issue and understand why God loves us so much, no matter where we fall, because we have Jesus and his precious blood, the covering that they had once a year in the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, we have it every day. It's not a license to sin. It's not an opportunity to do what we want to do.